In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the word of God from Matthew 21. Jesus said, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. The second son answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Then Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, what do you think? You ought to be a little nervous when Jesus asked that question, because the divine physician has his stethoscope right over your heart, and he's listening for faith and unbelief. So, what do you think? A man had two sons. The older son was somewhat snotty. The first words out of his mouth to his father were always no. Firstborns can be like that. They're used to undivided attention and undiluted praise and getting their way. They aren't exactly thrilled when number two or three comes along. Firstborns are often demanding, rule makers, attention grabbers, the parent pleasers, and the tradition keepers. It's no accident that a large number of pastors are firstborn sons. I wasn't. I was secondborn. But when the firstborn isn't getting his way, he usually lets the parents know it. So we're not at all surprised to hear a snotty no to the father's request to work in the vineyard, followed by a reluctant turn on the heels as the son heads to the vineyard to do the work anyway. Duty and obligation call. We don't know if the son was happy about it, or if he kicked stones in dirt and mouthed off to himself as he went to the vineyard. All we know is that he changed his mind and did what the father asked him. The second son does exactly the opposite, which second sons are prone to do. What are you supposed to do when you live in the constant shadow of an older brother who gets all the praise? So the second son does what he's used to doing. He says a pious and respectful, "Yes, sir," probably snaps a crisp salute, and then heads off to party with his buddies. So Jesus then asks us the loaded question, which of the two did the will of his father? What do you think? Remember, Jesus' stethoscope is listening for faith in your heart. Now, before you answer that loaded question, notice a couple things. Who's the first son, according to Jesus? It's not the religious types. Jesus says that the first son represents the tax collectors and prostitutes. Let's put that in terms we can relate to. The first son is too busy worshiping money and pleasures, so they reject their father's acceptance and love, because they're too busy having fun sinning. Their whole lives were one big fat no to Jesus, until they came to their senses and realized that their father had given them the sweetest deal of their lives, the free forgiveness of all of their sins, a father who never stopped loving them, and a brand new life. For performance plan people, the religious and the bookkeepers, who like to keep tabs on everyone else's performance, there's nothing more offensive than free forgiveness. The idea that tax collectors, prostitutes, and a whole world of prodigals like you and me enter the vineyard, which represents the Father's kingdom, ticks off the bookkeepers to no end. God, you're not supposed to be that good. You're not supposed to forgive sins that easily. I want you to notice something really critical. despite their sins, both of the sons are still considered sons by the father. Are they deadbeat sons? Yes. But to the father, they're still sons. Both still have a place in the father's family, a place in the father's vineyard, a place at the father's table. Both of them still live under the father's good graces, even though neither of them are terribly likable or loyal. The same applies to us. Regardless of our lip service or our lives, through Jesus, we're still in our father's good graces. We still have a place in our father's family and at our father's table, even when we behave like snotty, sinful children. The father never retracts your place in his family or in his grace, although you can reject it and lose it if you love your sinning more than you love your father and your savior. So what do you think? Which of the two sons did their father's will? The easy answer is the first son. That's the answer from the religious authorities, the one who kept the commandments. He may have grumbled and mumbled like a teenager who's just been asked to clean up his or her room, but in the end, the first son did what the father asked. But wait a minute. If you stop and think about it, neither of the sons really did the will of his father. Not with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Neither of them did the will of his father by word and deed, with lips and life, and thus both of them need to repent. The first son for his words, and the second son for his deeds, or lack of them. If the truth be told, you and I are represented by both of the two sons. Sometimes we're quick to say yes to God, like the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Yes, Lord, we will do everything you asked of us. But then we turn around and go about all of our idolatries Monday through Saturday, as though Jesus were still dead and in his grave. And then at other times, we just say no to the Father. Fear, love, and trust in God? No. Honor God's name? No. Gladly worship him and receive his gifts? No. Honor your father and mother? No. Be content with what you have. And we just say no, 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 no. And though we oftentimes have a guilty conscience and a change of mind, our heart still isn't in it. So what do you think? I'll tell you what I think. I think the father of the parable needs another son. A son who truly fears, loves, and trusts in his father. A son who says yes to his father's will and means it, and backs up his words with his life. I think what the father needs is another son, a faithful son, who takes up the work of his sinful brothers. I think the father needs another son, a son who empties himself, rolls up his sleeves, and says, "Father, not my will, but yours be done. This is the will of my father, that I lay down my life for the world." I think the father needs another son, a son who lives perfectly and dies innocently for all of the bratty firstborn sons and daughters, and for all of the disobedient second sons and daughters, and then gives us forgiveness and perfect righteousness as a gift, so we can live in the father's good graces and the father's family forever. When you look at how poor and miserable the first two sinful sons are, I think the father needs another son. A son who gets the father's work done and then lets his brothers and sisters get all the credit. So Philippians 2 says, "Consider Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider his being equal with God as something to be grasped and held on to. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." 2 Corinthians 5 says, "God made him, his only begotten Son, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And now that Jesus has done all of the work the Father asked us to do, and he also died to forgive us for all of our sins, which we could not do, all of us bratty, disobedient, and sinful brothers and sisters get a forever place at the Father's table, a forever place in the Father's heavenly vineyard, and a forever place in the Father's good graces, all because the Father had one faithful son, and we had one faithful brother, who always said yes to his Father and our Father for our salvation. This is how blessed we are to have Jesus as our brother and our Savior. God the Father asked Jesus, "Son, I need you to be born in blood so that you can die in blood." And Jesus said, "Yes, I'll do it." "Son, I need you to get life right where your brothers and sisters got life wrong so you can give them your womb-to-tomb righteousness." And Jesus said, "Yes, Daddy, I'll do it." "Son, I need you to go to the vineyard of Gethsemane and be crushed for your brothers and sisters." And Jesus said, "Yes, I'll do it." "Son, I need you to actually go all the way down into hell and be abandoned by me, your daddy, for the first time in eternity." And Jesus said, "Yes, Father, I'll do it." "Son, I need you to die for your brothers and sisters." And Jesus said, "Yes, I'll do it." "And son, I finally need you to rise again and conquer death for your brothers and sisters once and for all." And Jesus said, "Yes, Father, I will do it." And God's word tells us that Jesus always did what was pleasing to his Father. And we're told what that means for us in Romans 5. By the obedience of the one man Jesus, the many will be declared righteous. Because of Jesus, God now sees all of us as beautiful sons and daughters, as beautiful as our brother Jesus. In closing, there's a song by a lady named Twyla Paris called "How Beautiful" that sums up all that our big brother Jesus did for us by always saying yes to his Father on our behalf. I'd encourage you to listen to that song on YouTube. But the song reads like this: "How beautiful the hands that served, the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the feet that trod the long dusty road on the way to the cross. How beautiful the heart that bled, that took all my sins and bore it instead. How beautiful his tender eyes that chose to forgive and never despise. How beautiful." Because of our beautiful big brother Jesus, our Father forgives every disobedient son and daughter who were too captivated by sin or too disinterested in their Father to live for our dear Daddy. Thankfully, God had another beautiful son who set all things right between us and our Daddy. Because of our big brother's love, in repentance, we can now say no to our sinful flesh, and we put it to death. And in faith, born of God's love in Jesus, we join Jesus in saying yes to our daddy's will, who always said yes to his daddy to forgive us and give us a place in heaven. The song I referenced above concludes with these words: "And as he laid down his life, we offer this sacrifice, that we will live just as he died, willing to pay the price. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure lives so that others may live. How beautiful the feet that bring the sound of good news and the love of our King. How beautiful the hands that serve the bread and the wine and the sons of the earth. How beautiful we are to our Father in Jesus."